He had the eyes of faith to see who Jesus was. He already had the eyes of faith to call out to Jesus and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He saw things as they really were. So that was really exciting to see those things celebrated in that wonderful praise song from Chris Tomlin. So thank you, Lord, for the gift of music and for sharing, having that for us this morning. Let's pray. May the Holy Spirit now bear witness with the truth of God and make it the power of God unto salvation. May God make his word so potent that some of you shall close with Christ and enter into eternity this very hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that is not my verbiage. That was a prayer offered by Charles Spurgeon that I wanted to share with you this morning as we have this moment together. And I began my sermon by alluding to the song that we sang, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing," and in that is are the words out of my sin. Nope, that's not true. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose and followed him. And I thought, that's Bartimaeus' song, isn't it? And I pray that it would be your song too. My prayer is that you would be touched by God, and you would feel that your sight has been restored, or your hearing has been helped, or your brain has been made functional again, that he's cleared up some of the confusion that might be in there. And I found a better song that has the lyrics, "Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Into freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come." It's so important for us to know, to speak the name of Jesus, and to come to Jesus. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. The conditions, I can't preach with a mask on. So I am 20 feet away. So we are looking at the calamity of Bartimaeus' life. And we are looking at the calamity of the man who was born blind. You follow me? The calamity of their life. And you know, you come to church this morning and you may have calamities of your own. You may have things that you're struggling with which make you feel like a beggar beside the road wanting Jesus to stop and give you a hand up. Like a beggar beside the road who wants to receive back his sight. By the way, it's really significant that Bartimaeus is receiving back his sight. He lost it. Whereas the man healed from congenital blindness never had it. Those distinctions are important, and that's why I put these two stories together, because I want you to know that when Jesus heals your blindness, he heals it completely. All of it. Not only what you've lost, but maybe that which you never had. It's about being made entirely whole. And in fact, when Jesus says your faith has healed you, what he's talking about is him being made entirely whole. It wasn't just his eyes that was healed. His life condition was healed. His calamity was resolved. And then the first thing that the man does, Bartimaeus does, after he has spoken the name of Jesus and the power of the name of Jesus has canceled his blindness, after he arises from his huddle there beside the road, after he stands up and goes to Jesus, he is entirely whole. And I love in the Bible when they talk about the man who used to sit by the the gate temple, and because he heard the word of Jesus, because he heard the gospel, he heard the power in the word. In other words, the prayer that we offered this morning, may the Holy Spirit now bear witness with the truth of God and the power of God be loosed on you unto salvation. And so the man by the gate, beautiful, heard this incredible word of God, and the power in the word healed him. And when Paul was preaching in Lystra, the power of the word healed him. And he rose up on feet that had never walked before and ran and walked whole. And God wants to do that for you. Because you may not be a physical cripple, may only be an emotional cripple. You may be a mental cripple. You may have all kinds of disabilities wrapped up in your life story. And what I want to declare to you is Jesus is not only able to heal those, he is wanting to, he is willing to, and he wants you to call upon his name. He wants you to say, Jesus, Lord, Messiah, Son of God, Son of David, I'm calling upon you. May the power of your name be effectual in my life where I am. May my calamity come before you, and may you deliver me from it entirely. I want to tell you today, we have a God who's never too busy to take your call. We have a God who's never too busy to receive a prayer from you. He never puts you on hold so he can take a more important call. That's a wonderful thing to know about God, that your call is just as important as any other call that could possibly come to him, and he takes it. He doesn't put you on hold. He's not too busy. He's not incapable. I think he multitasks on an infinite level. Amen? And so we know that we have a God who cares for us. We know a God who hears. We know a God who wants to liberate us. The man wanted his sight. Why did Bartimaeus want his sight? I'm going to tell you what I think the reason is. He wanted his sight because he wanted to follow Jesus. Because what he does is, when he gets his sight, the very first thing that he sees is Jesus. And the very next thing he does is he follows Jesus. And that ties into the Easter story. So he got eyes in time to see the sacrifice of the Lamb who laid down his life for you and me. He got his eyes in time to see the great redemptive act of God. Would you like to have those eyes? Take heart, said the disciples. Stand up. He calls you. Until you hear those words addressed to yourself, you won't be making much sense out of this story of the healing of Bartimaeus. Take heart. Arise. He calls you. I want us to recognize the overwhelming power of God demonstrated in this tale, in this account in Scripture. Blindness could not stand against the overwhelming power of God. Sin cannot stand against the overwhelming power of God. Nothing can withstand the overwhelming power of God. Hallelujah. That's the God that we have. That's the God who is saying to us, arise, I'm calling your name. Hallelujah. When he calls my name. So God's never too busy. He has no hold button. Hallelujah. He can inject the temporal with the eternal. This is a wonderful thing. Anytime that God wants to get you in touch with what's going on in heaven, he can do that. You can just pull back the veil and you can have a glimpse of what's going on there. Eternity can enter into your temporality. You know, the significance of God can enter into your significance. The power and grandeur of God can intersect with your meaningless, pitiful little life that you think you're living. When in fact, you have a great calling by a great God, and you are to arise when he calls your name because he wants to set you free. Free to life. Free to gladness. Free to wholeness. What a God. Now let's just review the facts here. Jesus is on his way to his royal enthronement. You know that, right? That's what Palm Sunday's about. It's not just about him walking into Jerusalem and saying, wow, you know, that's really cool. No, it's about the King of Israel coming to take his rightful place on the throne of Israel in Jerusalem. Hallelujah, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Son of David, King, Messiah. And Jesus sets his royal procession aside to deal with Bartimaeus. If he did it for Bartimaeus, he will do it for you. Nothing is as important to our God as to set you free and minister to your calamity. I love that. I hope you can own that we're all beggars sitting by the roadside. And Jesus is passing by. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Jesus is passing by. Jesus wants you to call out to him. He doesn't want you to think you can make it on your own, that you can just tough it out. You know, I'm not that important. God has more important things to do. That's not godly thinking. God has nothing more important to do than what he has to do. And you may be on his punch list today. And so he arranged for you to be in the right place at the right time in the right circumstance, and then he speaks to you. He's calling your name. Be encouraged. Arise. Go to Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every chain comes off. At the name of Jesus, our fetters are broken, and the cripple are strengthened, and they stand up because the power of God has overwhelmed their disability. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame leap, the lost are saved. At the name of Jesus, there is power. At the name of Jesus, there is freedom. At the name of Jesus, there is healing. At the name of Jesus, there is salvation. At the name of Jesus, there is life. He who has me has life, says Jesus. But it's even more than that. I want to celebrate this because, you know, it's awfully religious words, you know, power, freedom, healing. So let me get down to the nitty gritty. There is mobility in the name of Jesus. There is sight in the name of Jesus. There is hearing in the name of Jesus. There is speaking in the name of Jesus. There is thinking in the name of Jesus. There is feeling in the name of Jesus. There is sensing in the name of Jesus. Yeah, we can talk about the spiritual, we can talk about the physical, we can talk about the heavenly, we can talk about what Christ has done on the earth. I called upon the name of Jesus and he heard me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Lord. And he stopped. And he turned. And he said, bring her to me. Bring him to me. Bring whoever it is that is crying out for me, bring them to me. And so the disciples get busy, you know, they stop shushing him up, trying to pretend he wasn't there, stop treating him as if he's noise and distraction, and they say, oh, look, take heart, you know, stand up, he's calling you. Nice recovery, disciples. It'd be nice if they didn't have to recover, amen? But sometimes we do. I called upon the name of Jesus and he heard me. I remember, it happened when I got in a conversation with a Christian young woman who witnessed to me about her friendship with Jesus. She had no idea what was going on spiritually. She wondered why in the world I was engaging her in conversation. But it doesn't matter. What matters is that if she shared with me the name of Jesus, this holy jealousy started to well up inside of me, and I kept saying, I got to have that. I've got to have that. Excuse me. I've got to have Jesus. And that night, I cried out the name of Jesus. You understand me? And when I spoke the name of Jesus, he heard me, he came to me, and I became a Christian. That was the power of the word, the spoken word. When I spoke the name of Jesus, when I asked Jesus to be my friend, he said, stand up. No problem. We're friends. And my whole life began to change around that. And so, you know, I was having brain cramps and, you know, sermon block. That's something you folks don't have to worry about. But I'm sitting there looking at the piece of paper going, how am I going to communicate this? How am I going to get this down? How am I going to share this with the people? And so I had to take a break. So I went on my computer and I said, you know, I'll just pull up some worship music and that'll be cool. And I'll take a break and then, you know, maybe I can get back to this a little later. And here's what came up. I have to tell you this because this is literally what came up. Was a video called Let God Write Your Love Story. Let God Write Your Story. So I listened to it. It was very interesting. Nate and Sutton were the two characters on the video, and you can look it up and you can hear it for yourself. And I was being engaged by their story. They're talking about how they found each other and how they prayed for each other and how God arranged circumstances and how their hopes and everything were actually being answered by God. And it hit me that it really wasn't their story. It was God's story. It was God moving in the circumstances of their life. It was God showing them mercy. It was God healing their loneliness. It was God answering their cry for companionship. It was God's story. And they admit that. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying, I'm just sitting there going, this is incredible. Let God write your story. So I was very blessed by that. And it didn't hurt that she was a Christian. And he was a Christian. And what they saw in each other was the indwelling Christ. They were really beautiful because of who it was that lived in them. And did you know that your beauty is not dependent on your outward appearance, but on your inward habitation? It's who lives in you that matters most. And when we see Christ in each other, it is very possible, very important, to praise how beautiful he is. And so I saw the beauty of Christ in Sutton, and I saw the beauty of Christ in Nate. I also saw the beauty of Christ in my bride when she came down the aisle. She was incredibly beautiful because of her relationship with Jesus. So that's important. We have to realize that we're not, you know, the journey that we have in this world is not about us. The journey that we have in this world is about Him. And our call in this world is to bring glory to Him. No matter what you're doing, you are to live in such a way that God receives the glory, that He receives the honor. We have to let people know it's all about Him. And that lends significance and purpose and meaning to your life. There is power in the name of Jesus. And when you speak His name, when you preach the gospel, the power of God is loosed to do what it was sent to do. You're not responsible for the results. God is responsible for the results. You speak the word and you see faith leap forth. You speak the word and see the blind rising up and coming to Jesus. You speak the word. You tell him, take heart, arise. He's calling you. I can't imagine how beautiful Jesus must have appeared to Bartimaeus the first sight that he sees with his recovered sight. I can't wait to see Jesus. I will. With these eyes, as Job said, in my resurrected body, I will see Christ. How beautiful. How beautiful is Christ dwelling in us. How beautiful. And the hope of glory. Wow. So, I don't know if you've come across this scripture, but I want to try to expound it for you. It's the one that says, when he ascended on high, he took a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. I want you to treasure this verse. Because you know, when I was courting Lynn, it had a lot to do with bouquets and chocolate. I guess you can follow me on that. I wooed her with gifts, and not just things, but with my presence, with my love, with my heart. And if you understand this scripture correctly, you resonate with this. He woos us by giving gifts to men. And you say, well, that's really odd, isn't it? Except that it's so scriptural. Back in Numbers, he set aside the tribe of Levi. And you know what he called them? He called them a gift to Israel. A love gift from God. This is for you, my people. I'm giving you the gift of the Levitical priesthood. This is for you, church. I'm giving you pastors and evangelists and teachers and deacons. And I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. I love you. And I'm giving you the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I really, really love you. And his desire is for you to become one in him, joined to him, married to him forever. You see, there's no divorce in heaven. I guess you need to know that. It doesn't happen there. We are united to Christ with an everlasting love. And he has given gifts to us to woo us. Of course, God the Father did the same thing with the gift of the Ten Commandments, right? That was a love gift. Let me tell you how to get on with me. First commandment. And he explains who he is and what he expects from us. It's not like he leaves us in the dark. It's a gift of love, isn't it? I don't think Lynn misunderstood when I gave her bouquets and chocolate. I think she got the message. I think we need to get the message too. So who did he lead on high? A host of captives. Everyone that was set free at the name of Jesus. Everyone whose brokenness was overwhelmed by the power of God. Everyone who got back their sight and their hearing and their mind and their feeling and their body and their hope. He freed them from their calamities. He released them from their jail. And he said, follow me. Follow me. Well, I don't know what you're doing with your life, but I know what I'm doing with mine. It's real simple. I'm following Jesus. I commend that to you. There is power in the Word. There is power in the name of Jesus. Do not be defeated. Do not be discouraged. Do not sit and moan and groan beside the road. Call out to Jesus. And wait. He'll stop. He'll turn. He'll heal. I don't have anything else to say. May the Lord of Easter rise in you. Amen.